One of the beautiful things about the Lord's Supper is that it's one of the ordinances of the church. The other ordinance of the church is baptism. And last Sunday, we got to celebrate a great baptism. Ellen Reagan's, who is right there on the screen after she got baptized. And so we celebrated with her. She had a birthday. She got baptized. She graduated from high school. She's going to camp this week. She has had an amazing, she'll have an amazing two-week period here. And so we're thrilled for her and her family. And we want to celebrate baptism all the time, and because it means new life. And so if you've never been baptized, let me encourage you. This is your little challenge. Maybe that's your spiritual goal. I need to make my faith public through baptism. Because last week I began the sermon in this service asking you to think about a spiritual goal. We ended with that. And I'm going to ask you again today, as we begin the service today, this portion, my homily today, because I want you to be focused on growing closer to the Lord, becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so if you were here last Sunday and you had a goal, how are you doing with that goal? How's it going? Are you working toward it? Do you even remember that you made a goal last week? If you weren't here last week, let me remind you that all of us are called to work towards holiness. We're working towards becoming more like Christ. So I want to invite you to make a spiritual goal. And that could be anything that you want it to be, but a goal for you to become more like Christ. Because in Nehemiah chapter 6, that's where we're going to be today. So I want to invite you to turn there quickly, page 486, if you have my exact Bible. You'll get there quickly. But what's happened here is that Nehemiah and the Israelites have been building a wall, a literal wall that still stands today in Jerusalem. They were building the wall after it had been destroyed. And he's had all kinds of chaos from the outside and a little bit of chaos from the inside. But the wall is finished. So let's look at Nehemiah 6, verse 15 and 16, and see what we can learn from the finished wall. Verse 15 of Nehemiah 6. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Now, nearly the entire book of Nehemiah so far, chapters 1 through 6.5, have been about Nehemiah's goal, his desire, his God-given goal to rebuild the wall. And that process has been filled with ridicule, intimidation, threats, slander, internal issues. But after 52 days, they finished the wall. It's extraordinary considering the opposition that they faced. And it's a reminder for us today that when God is in the middle of whatever you're doing, his work cannot, will not be stopped. God's work will not be stopped. You can have all kinds of things go wrong, but God's work doesn't stop. The enemy of God attempted to delay it. He tried to discourage God's people, tried to distract Nehemiah, the leader, with fear and manipulation. But Nehemiah refused to come down off the wall. And so be reminded today that God's work doesn't quit. It doesn't stop. It can't be thwarted. It will be done. And so if you're here today and you're attempting to do God's work of being a faithful parent, keep going. Remember, parents are in charge, not children. Because that's what the world will want to tell you. The kids run everything. No, parents have been placed to grow and encourage and discipline their children. There's hard work to be done in parenting. There's hard work to be done in living a life that's holy and right and pure. There's hard work to be done in growing and building God's kingdom, to share God's word, to help a church grow and be vital. It's challenging work sometimes. It's tough sometimes to actually make my faith public so that other people know the good news of Jesus Christ. And there'll be times, maybe your spiritual goal is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a friend or a coworker or family member. And you can be guaranteed that there's going to be times when you start a sentence and you try to engage that conversation, 17 things are going to go wrong in that exact moment. Because the enemy wants nothing but to thwart the things of God. But God's work will not stop. And so let me encourage you to keep going. Because opposition doesn't mean God is absent, God's not paying attention, God's not present. It means that you're leaning on His strength and His might, even when it doesn't feel like it. There's a gentleman who lived a few centuries ago. He's called the father of modern missions. His name is William Carey. There's colleges named after him. But William Carey was the founder of the modern missions movement. The Baptist, our international mission board, one of the largest mission organizations in the entire world, his organization is a precursor to ours. William Carey was a British Christian leader, pastor, and he felt God calling him to the heathen. That's what he called them, the heathen. We might call them pagans. Or non-Christians. We might even call them people who live thousands of miles away from us. That was his calling. He wanted to reach people who did not know Christ, who were far from God and far away from him. And so he began this campaign of going around England sharing messages and booklets and writing all about God's call to the heathen, to the non-believer across the world. And finally, he got enough people together, and they started a missionary society, the Baptist Missionary Society. And they sent William Carey off to India. But before he left, he preached several amazing sermons, and there's a line in one of his sermons that became a rallying cry for what God would do through his life and through missions movements for the next two centuries. William Carey said this in a sermon. He said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." Expect great things from God. Do you do that? You expect great things from God? Or are you just happy that you paid your bills today? Are you expecting great things from God? And then are you attempting great things for God? Nehemiah attempted a great thing for God. Let's rebuild the wall of a city that's broken down when we're surrounded by all of our enemies. And two of the three guys on the inside are working against us the entire process. Nehemiah still did it. Attempt great things for God. And so what did William Carey do? He did exactly what he preached. He expected God to do great things, and he attempted a great thing. In 1792, yes, 1792, he set sail for India. He made it in 1793. And when he got there, he stayed there for 41 years. If you're under 41 right now, just think about that. 41 years he stayed. He translated the Bible into more than 30 languages. Do you know more than one language? There's a couple of you that do, because I know you. 30 languages he translated the Bible. He established a college. And by 1821, because of his ministry and influence, over 1,400 people had been baptized. That's amazing. Now, what you may not know is that William Carey faced a lot of hardship, financial hardship. He himself was ill a number of times. His own son died on the mission field. a preteen, died on the mission field. Most of us would have packed our bags and headed back to England. His wife died ultimately of mental illness that she had begun to develop while they were on the mission field. His partners in ministry, two of them left him. He had other people, other ministry people in his life discouraging him, telling him to quit, to go home, to stop. You know it's bad when other pastors are telling you, give up the ghost, buddy, you're done. Like, it's a bad day when another pastor tells you to quit. It's rough. And to top that all off, from 1793 until 1800, 1793 to 1800, no one that he talked to, no one that he encouraged, no one that he shared the gospel with came to Christ. No one. It took him 7 years in a foreign country with nobody, all kinds of chaos, for the first person to receive Christ. And today we call him the father of modern missions. A precursor to our own international mission board. Are you expecting great things from God? Are you attempting great things for God? That's the story of Nehemiah. That's the story of William Carey. I wonder if it's our story, that I expect God to do great things. I expect God to actually draw people to himself when we speak about Jesus. I expect people, that God will help people walk in holiness if they will surrender to him. I expect that. I expect that for me. We don't do it perfectly, but that's my hope, that I want God to do great things. I want to see our community transformed by the gospel. And guess how that gets done? Not by David, Randy, Joey, and Brandy. We get to be a part of that, but you. Because you expect great things from God and you're attempting great things for him. That's the goal. And you know what happens often is that we think there's got to be some magical moment, some giant thing happen. No, what did the nation of Israel, what did the little Israelites do? These people from Jerusalem, the feeble Jews, that's what chapter 4 says they are. The other countries thought they were feeble Jews, these lowly little Israelites. What can they do? They can't do anything. But you know what they did? They all got together and they just worked day after day after day after day on the wall. They just got up in the morning, went to their little part of the wall, and they started putting some bricks down. And some of their other neighbors did the same thing. Some of their friends from the suburbs came in and helped them where nobody was living. The watchmen were on the makeshift towers, making sure that nobody invaded. You had people praying. You had families working together side by side. Just simple things. Every day they did what they were supposed to do. And what did God do? He did something amazing. He helped them finish a wall in less than 2 months. And Nehemiah and the other leaders were helping them be in the right place at the right time in the right way and accomplish the most that they could in the moment. Because that's how God works. God works through simple, ordinary people doing ordinary obedience. That's what he does. He works through simple, ordinary obedience. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do what God calls me to do every day. I'm going to lead my family well. I'm going to devote myself to the Lord. I'm going to have worship as a lifestyle. I'm going to be connected with other believers. I'm going to live out my faith publicly. I'm going to take a stand on things that matter, on the truth. That's what I'm going to do. Just every day, just simple, ordinary obedience. And God did a mighty thing. He did a great thing. And so let me encourage you not to look for the giant thing. Look for the ordinary, everyday, simple obedience. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Because when they finished that wall, what happened? Every other nation around them heard about it. All their enemies heard about it. And what are their enemies who once called them feeble Jews? What can they do? Not much. They all lowered their self-esteem. That's what it's like. They lowered their self-esteem. Some of you are pretty confident in yourselves. Like you walk into a room, you're like, I'm here. That's how you walk in. I know at least one of you like that. His name's David. And so some of you are like that too. Like you know who you are. Like you walk in confident. Well, what happened here? The Israelites did something amazing with the help of God. The rest of the world took notice and like, oh, wow, okay. We better pay attention to these people. They're up to something. It's no different than when you and I are simple, faithful witnesses to the truth of God's word. When you and I just live faithfully, people pay attention. They take notice. Oh, wow. That happened in your life? Oh, wasn't that terrible? Well, yes, but let me tell you how it worked out. When we share our lives with one another, when we're vulnerable to each other, when we focus on personal holiness, when we endure hardship together as the body of Christ and we lean on each other, we bear one another's burdens, we demonstrate hope in the midst of hard and difficult situations when the rest of the world wants to throw their hands up or scream at each other. We show grace and compassion, simple little things that build the wall to show the world, hey, there's something different about these people because God is with them. Now, their enemies didn't like turn and devote themselves to the Lord immediately, but they took notice. And what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah didn't take the credit because Nehemiah is a great leader. I mean, this guy knows what he's doing. But he didn't take the credit. No, he said, you know how we got this done? By the help of our God. That's it. By the help of our God. By that prayer a little earlier, oh God, strengthen my hands. He knew where his strength and his power was from. And though he had been opposed by enemy after enemy, he knew that God's work would not be stopped. And he had a vision that was grand, big, huge. Some might even argue impossible. And guess what? God did it. And so I want to invite you today. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you two things. To look back on what God has done in your life, how he's gotten you this far, and you need to celebrate the goodness of God that he's gotten you to May of 2026 in your life. Celebrate what God has done in your life. Celebrate what God is doing in the life of our church. Celebrate him for his goodness and his grace. And then I want to invite you, I want to encourage you. It's the same message as last week. I want to invite you to expect great things from God and attempt great things for him. What is your spiritual goal? Are you working towards something that only God can intervene and help you with to see you accomplish in your personal life? To make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. What is that goal? What are you moving towards? Are you just sort of wandering around life? Are you living with purpose and inviting others to join you to walk with Jesus? That's my hope for us. Will you pray with me?